It's counting. Cool.
Isn't that the strangest looking guy you've ever seen up on stage? Huh? Wow, isn't that something? I guess, first of all, I'd like to thank you guys for allowing me to come up and share a little bit of the Word of the Lord with you this morning. Hopefully it's going to be eye-opening. Matt pretty much stole all my thunder. Pretty much preached everything I want to preach, so I guess really I can just pray and we can go home. Cool? Huh? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are. We cannot thank you enough. There's no words. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do but accept the love that you pour out upon us. Father, we just stand in total awe of you, how awesome you are, how precious you are to us. Father, just get me out of the way. You say what needs to be said this morning. Do what needs to be done this morning, Father. And I just open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. In your precious and holy and wonderful name we pray. Amen. It's good to be back. I missed you guys. It's been a long time, you know. I've been out and about. Can't do too much. Broken wing. Can't do too much. But I'm getting along all right. First weekend without a sling, so that's a good thing, right? You guys notice the sign out front? You know what it says? Julie, pain is real. Pain is real, but there's hope, right? Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. I got a couple questions for you. This is Palm Sunday, right? This is Palm Sunday. We're going to get there. But I think there's some things you need to understand first. And I'd like you to maybe go along with me. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians. I want to start in chapter 2. I got a question for you. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come to be crucified? Why did he do it? Why? He didn't have to, but he did. Why did he care so much about us? I don't know. Why? I look in the mirror and I think, hey, boy, he messed up on that one. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Why? Why did he do it? When you were born, maybe it was a short time ago, maybe a long time ago, when you were born, there is a part of you, when you were born, that will live forever. I haven't always been, but from the day I was born, I will always be. There's going to be a part of me, there's going to be a part of you that lives forever. Forever! The Lord Jesus Christ understood what that meant. And he knew, if he didn't come to that cross and pay the price, you and I would be lost forever. So, by his grace, we receive salvation, right? You guys notice the title of the message today? It isn't triumphal entry. It isn't Palm Sunday. What is it? Grace in your pain and fear. And I'm going to get there. Let's go to chapter 2 of Ephesians. I want to read you something. We're going to start in verse 4. I want to read this to you kind of quick. This is kind of a thing on grace. When you look at God's grace, and I had no way of doing it, but if I had a diamond up here, all the ladies look. See that? Diamond. If I had a diamond up here, you ever look at a diamond? It's just, you put it in light, it's like just multifaceted and just light everywhere. It's like, dude, it's just everywhere. That's God's grace. It's not just one thing. It's just multifaceted, as he is. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us." I like that. In order for him to satisfy his intense love for us, he had to do something. That's wrong. Isn't it? That's what it says. He had to do something because his love was so intense. He desired to know you so much. Verse 5. "Even when we were dead by our own sins, trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ." Listen to what the Amplified says. "He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him." The same power that rose the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. It's in you! Doesn't that get you excited? It does me, because I'm an old guy, can't move more. Huh? It gets me a little excited. Let's go on. For it is by grace that you are saved. Grace. You're saved by grace. Delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Verse 6. And He raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together. What? You mean He gave me the Spirit, the power that raised Christ from the dead? And now what's it say? He has raised us up together with Him and made us to sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the heavenly sphere by the virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. He's powered you. He just raised you up. You're sitting down. Verse 7, He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of His grace. What? We're saved by grace. Salvation. When I got saved, when you got saved, it wasn't just a free ticket to heaven. If it, we'd kick back and say, go get Him, Jesus. I'm going to sit here on the couch and watch a little TV. Huh? No, it was to quicken you, to make you alive, to empower you, to strengthen you. His grace does that. Part of His grace. Verse 8. For it is by free grace, that you are saved through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. There's nothing you did to earn that grace. It is something God has given to you and me. This body of His Lord Jesus, the Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? You grasp that a little bit? Not really, huh? So, let's go on here. Grace. I want to read you the definition for grace. I like this because I was looking it up. Grace is free. We know that. We just read it's free. What is grace? Grace is a favor without expectation of return. So you do something for somebody, and you don't expect a thing in return. Nothing. Let's go on. Absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God to man. It's free. He pours out His grace on you. It's free. Okay, let's go on. Finding its only motive in the bounty and free heartedness of the giver. It comes from God. There's nothing you can do. Go on. Unearned and unmerited favor. I've heard it said that a lot. God's grace affects men's sinfulness and not only forgives the repentant sinner, but listen to this, brings joy and thankfulness to Him. Really? God's grace brings you joy? The title of the message today is Grace and Pain and Fear. You ever have therapy? Hi, Jeanette. How you doing? She's not my therapist, but I can relate to what she has to go through probably. This arm was in a sling for almost 2 months, couldn't use it. Still not allowed to move it by itself. Can't pick nothing, can't push nothing, can't pull nothing. So that thing stuck for 2 months. What's that tell you? It's stuck. So this guy, he puts you on the table and he picks your arm and he manipulates. You're not allowed to do it, he manipulates your arm. And he stretches it until you feel like your arm is going to tear from its socket. And I'm not exaggerating. It's like, that hurts. And I told the Lord, I said, that really hurts. You know what He gave me? The guy was stretching me. It hurt. It hurts. I'm telling you, it hurts. I don't do pain meds. Never have. I just don't do them. I just like the pain, I guess. I enjoy it. And when he got done stretching that, I was like, Father, that hurts. And he said, I'm as real as that feels. And I'm like, what? And when he brought it back down, he goes, I have never had anybody laugh when I hurt him like that. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You're as real as that pain feels. God is as real as that pain feels. So now when I go to therapy, he goes, dude, you're laughing. I said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm laughing. I look forward to it. Like, yes, it hurts. He's as real as that pain feels. And I got to thinking, He's real. Grace. You can write these down if you want. I, Some of these I thought up on my own, some of them I got, but grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. Fear. False evidence appearing real. You ever know anybody that you could scare real easy? You never do it though, right? Nobody ever. I had to work with guys, you'd walk them and go, boo. He's like, dude, what's the matter with you? They're ready to punch you. It's funny, right? That's fear. False evidence appearing real. Pain. He's a little bit. Practical application of intense newness. Because that thing hurts. And that's a practical application. It's getting better. Huh? The Bible is real. When we read this Bible, it's real. When we read about stuff in the Bible, it's real. It actually happened. Do you ever think about that? It actually happened. Just the way it said. Huh? This is Palm Sunday. Let's go to John chapter 3. Or chapter 12, I'm sorry. Let's go to John chapter 12. What is Palm Sunday? Ooh, when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. A triumphal entry, right? There's some things that happen. And it's actually, there's not a lot of things that are covered in all four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The triumphal entry is covered in all four of them. And each one of them adds a little bit more to the story. So you might have to look at all of them. So understand today, this is Palm Sunday. This is the day that we celebrate that the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem. And for once, one time, he actually got a little bit of a taste of what he deserved as king. As king. Remember? God is real. Is the pain you feel? This is real. John chapter 12. There's some stuff going on. We're going to start in verse 12, I think. It says, the next day, a vast crowd of those who came to Passover feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. And as they went, they kept shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he, and praise to him who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. My Bible has an exclamation point behind Hosanna. It has an exclamation point behind the King of Israel. You see that? I thought, well, that's kind of cool. In Mark, it actually brings out a little bit that they cut down palms and they actually put garments on the donkey. And we can be thankful that I'm not reading from the King James Version. Those of you who have ever read the King James Version, when I was in Sunday school, you hated to read verses of Scripture from the Old Testament because there was bad words in there. So they made it better. They made it better. That's cool. But this word Hosanna, I was looking at this. Hosanna. Hosanna is actually a Hebrew word. It's used 6 times in the New Testament. It's actually a Hebrew word. I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And I got to looking at it. So where does it come from? Hosanna means save us. Save us now. Save, we pray. It's an utterance of praise rather than a prayer. During this time, when they was doing this feast, a little bit of history on this feast. The book of Psalms is the prayer book. It's the song book. It's what they sang. At the Feast of Passover, Feast of Dedication, they sang Hallel, which was Psalms 113 through 118. They sang it. They just sang it. The church choir would get up and they would sing Psalms 113 through 118. A lot of singing. When you go back to Psalm 118, let's go look at it. Psalm 118. I want you to see something. I know this sounds kind of... See, I was thinking, Lord, I thought, how is this all going to tie together? The pain and fear and grace and... And I could hear him chuckling. Psalm 118. Let's just see here. Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. It says, save now, we beseech you, O Lord. Send now prosperity, O Lord. We beseech you. And give to us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. I don't see Hosanna in that at all, do you? No. I thought that's silly. How does that do? Save now, we beseech you, O Lord. In Hebrew, it's Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. These people, when he's coming, when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming into town, they're saying, Hosanna! And like, they were pretty excited about it, right? Because they've been saying it for years. Psalm 118, they would say, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name, save us, woo! They're saying, yee! They're getting all excited, right? John 12, when you read it, says, so they took branches and palm trees and went and shut those down. Doesn't sound like much, does it? It don't. It's terrible. It sounds terrible. I read it. I thought, well, that's terrible. It's not exciting. You know what I mean? It's not exciting. We're going to look at something. And Jesus, having found a young donkey, verse 14, praise God for the new translation, wrote upon it, just as is written in the scriptures, do not fear, O daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Matt touched on something with his devotion this morning. God knew what was coming tomorrow. He knew what was coming. He knows what's coming in your life. He knows what's going to happen to me. He knows what my expiration time is and yours. He knows it. He knows all this stuff. He's not stupid. He knows all this stuff. So if he knows all this stuff, this verse 14 and 15, do you have a footnote in your Bible that says anything about anything in that verse 15? Do not fear. Mine says, O daughter of Zion! Exclamation point. And it says, look! Exclamation point. It says, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt! Exclamation point. You got a footnote in there about any verse of scripture anywhere? Zechariah 9:9. Go look at Zechariah 9:9. Go take a peek. See, I'm a little excited about this. You guys aren't quite there yet, but you're going to get there. You're going to get there. Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah, I have to read this to you. It's pretty cool. Zechariah was a prophet. Okay, he was a prophet. When the children of Israel came back from the captivity, Babylonian captivity, somewhere around there, 500 BC, about 520 BC, he started to prophet. He was a prophet at that. So he was a prophet at that time. Zechariah's name means the Lord remembers. If you look at Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, he is the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. Iddo was his great, it was his grandfather. He came back with the captivity. He was actually came back with the captivity. Iddo means the appointed time. He came back from with the children of Israel from their captivity at the appointed time. His father's name, Berechiah, means the Lord blesses. Amen. Zechariah's name means the Lord remembers. Isn't that cool? It ties it all together. So 500 years before Christ was born. There's a little verse of scripture we're going to look at. Verse, chapter 9, verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is uncompromisingly just and having salvation, triumph, and victorious, patient, meek, lowly, riding on a donkey upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. Cool, huh? 500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, God says, you know what? I'm just going to put a little something out there, a little something, something for you to see. A little something, something. Look at this. I want to read this to you. Rejoice here literally means to twirl. It's a dancing term. If I twirl, I'd probably fall down. It's a dancing term. Rejoice. It's okay to get excited in the house of the Lord. Rejoice. The word for shout, it's a war cry. It's a war cry. Yeah! My brother's in the Marine Corps. He would come back, and whenever he left, he would wind down his window, he'd go, yee-haw! That's what he did. Every time. We'd all go, yee-haw! You know what I'm saying? The three G's, God, guts, and glory, Marine Corps, right? You're supposed to get excited. That's what this saying is. Get excited. Let's go on. All the Jewish people here are exhorted to rejoice in a most exuberant way. One commentary I read, I chuckled. It says, just tell them to whoop it up. Yeah! Woo-hoo! It's okay to get excited in the house of the Lord. You're singing and praising the God. He's real. He's real. When I looked at it, I thought, that's cool. That makes that a little bit. It's a Hosanna, Hosanna. No, it's like Hosanna. I get a little excited. Let's stop in Zechariah. Let's do 12. Zechariah 12. I want to read you one verse here in verse 10. We know, Matt touched on this morning, God knows the future. He knew what it was going to take. Zechariah 10 or 12, verse 10 says, "And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace." What? He said, "I'm going to pour out the Spirit of grace. And they'll look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one who is in bitterness for his firstborn." What? He said, "You know what? I'm going to pour out my Spirit of grace on them." That loving, not returned love. God's going to pour out that Spirit of love upon these people, and they're going to kill it. You know that's real? You know he actually died on that cross? You know he actually died on that cross? He killed him! But you know he rose from the dead? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! That's a little bit of that shout, a little bit of that dancing for, yeah! He rose from the dead! And we read in Ephesians 2, that same power is in me. It's in you! Can you get a little excited about that? Yeah! Isn't that cool? Let's go back to John. John chapter 12. I think it brings a little more rubber to the road when you read this. When you start tying these things together, he says, he comes right in and they're like, "Yes, the king's coming! Woo! King's coming!" Huh? In verse 16. See, I told you Matt stole my thunder. Verse 16, let's read this. It says, "His disciples did not understand." What? They've been living with him. They didn't understand, could not comprehend the meaning of these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, when he raised from the dead, they remembered these things that had been written about him and what he had done. Huh? They remembered. Look at verse 17. "The group that had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, from among the dead, kept telling it, bearing witness to others. It was for this reason that the crowd went to meet him, because they had heard he had performed this miracle." You ever see that before? Do you understand that when Christ came, when he was getting on that donkey, there was people there that actually saw him raise Lazarus from the dead? Have you ever seen anybody raised from the dead? That'd be scary, wouldn't it? Huh? You think about it. It's like, here it is. Ah! That'd be fear, wouldn't it? Huh? That'd be fear. These people that were here saw him say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came out alive. And they're telling people this. And all these people are like, "This is the guy! This is him! This is the guy! This is him! This is the guy! I know the guy!" Huh? You know how it'd be excited, right? "I know the guy! I know him!" And that's part of the people that were there. And they're praising Hosanna. Can you see how they're getting a little excited? They were happy to be in his presence. They were praising the Lord. The king's coming. That's why they were supposed to get excited. The king was coming. He was coming. I want to look one more thing. I'm going to go to the book of Luke. I didn't touch half of what we was talking, what I wanted to talk to you about. But are you getting the gist of what I'm trying to tell you? Because my pain is real, my Lord is real. And because my pain is felt, it hurts. I know it's there. It's painful. It hurts. I know he's real. I know he's real. And I know that everything that he has said in this book is real. You mean it's not just an old story, a book of wives' tales and stuff? I mean, that's kind of nice to read. Kind of cool. Got some cool stuff. It's real. It happened. When you get a little excited about it, that's why I sing. I get excited about praising the Lord. And that's okay. Because that's me. May not be you, but it's me. And I praise him. In Luke 19. Same story.
Let's start in verse 38.
It says, crying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Verse 39. Read, listen to this. And some of the Pharisees from the throng said to Jesus, Teacher, reprove your disciples. What are they saying? They're blaspheming. They're saying he's God. He was. Verse 40. He replied, The Lord Jesus Christ himself actually replied, I tell you that if these keep silent, the very stones will cry out. What? You mean if I don't praise the Lord? These rocks? There's rocks in the asphalt block wall around. There's rocks, right? You mean the rocks will cry out? Yeah! You want a rock to take your place? Kick an old dumb rock out of your way? It's a dumb rock. It's a dumb rock. It does nothing. It's dumb. You want a rock to take your place in praising the Lord? No! You want to go, yeah, praise the Lord! Exclamation point! Right? Probably never looked at the triumphal entry that way before, have you? I never did. Lazarus, people that knew Lazarus were raised from the dead were there. They're singing Hosanna. They're getting excited. They're dancing. They're twirling. They're shouting. Praise the Lord. It's okay to praise the Lord. He's real. He's real. And you know what? He's real today as he was yesterday. He's real today as he will be tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? Don't have to worry about that. Don't have to worry about that. I told you before, God's already been there. It's real. He's already been there. He's been there. He knows what tomorrow's going to be. You're not going to take him by surprise. He knows the outcome. When you fall and hurt yourself and you can't move the thing for a while, he knows the outcome. Why did he do it? I don't know. Maybe I was just stupid. I raised my hand. I was just stupid. Huh? Things happen. God is real. I'm going to read you something. Gosh. Ephesians chapter 3. I've been working on, I do verse by verse studies. And this is not a, I'm just a dummy. I don't know much. I can't read Hebrew like Brad can. Can't read Greek. I'm just a dummy. But I like to do verse by verse word studies, and that's how I find that word Hosanna. You do some back ground, you see some stuff. To me, it's cool. I like to see how it works out. I've been doing the book of Ephesians. This is the fourth year. I'm halfway through chapter 4. It's taken me 4 years to get through four chapters. Not even four chapters of the book of Ephesians. It's heavy. It's heavy. I want you to see something. I read this to you before, but I want you to see this. Verse 16, Ephesians 3, verse 16. Paul says here, he says, May God, grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. And the Amplified says here, himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. You mean to tell me, he's saying, may God grant you out of his rich treasury, strength inside. Cool. Verse 17. May Christ, remember, he's real. He's real. He's real. He's real. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell. And the Amplified says, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp of all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height and depth of that love. There's no dimensional margins of this. His love is so high you can't see the top. His love is so low you can't see the bottom. His love is so wide you can't see either side of it. That's the love of God. Verse 19. That you may really come to know I'm going to read this out of the Amplified because I like the way this brings it out. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being and to all fullness of God. I wouldn't know the love of Christ if I didn't have pain. You wouldn't know the love of Christ if you didn't have pain. Because when you call out to Him, He gives you something. I'm as real as the pain you feel. I'm like, wow! Where'd that come from? And nothing in me. And that was for Him. That I can actually know from experience that He loves me. Isn't that cool? He's real. He loves you. The Amplified says here, oh my, listen to this. And that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. How do you like that? I feel that way when I preach. It's like, yes! I don't feel this way when I work. Like, oh boy, working. This is like, yes, I'm filled with God! Praise the Lord! In verse 20, now to Him by who? By instant consequence of the action of His power that is work with, that is in, at work within you, is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly far above all that we dare ask or think. The Amplified says, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. You mean to tell me that if I'm thinking, I'm going to ask God for, boy, I'd like a truck, Lord. I'd like a truck. I can use an old junker. I'm okay with that. I can use an old truck. He can do far abundantly above that. Do you think we shortchange God by not asking for impressive things? Well, Lord, you know, I broke a shoestring today. I probably ought to. You guys could get me one. Really? Really? Are you saying, Lord, give me somebody to talk to? They're going to hell if I don't talk to them today. Give me somebody. Really? Okay. Okay. You start praying some big prayers, God's going to start answering some big prayers. And I think we shortchange Him by not asking the big prayers. Shouldn't be up here preaching. Shouldn't be, but I am. And I praise the Lord for it. I praise the Lord for it. We're shortchanging God by not asking for big stuff. Don't be afraid to ask Him for big stuff. He's a big God. Don't put Him in a box. He's big. He's real. He's real. And He wants to be real in your life. He wants to be real in your life. Huh? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before Your precious throne. We're in total awe. We're speechless. How awesome You are. How powerful. How You work this thing out. Your grace, Your love, Your mercy. Father, we are so thankful as human beings that You love us and that Your love is real. We can feel it, each and every one of us. It is real. Father, we thank You for that. We praise You for that. That triumphant entry, You coming into Jerusalem, it happened. It was real. Lazarus, come forth. He came out of that grave. He didn't have a choice. It was real. And Your power and Your strength that indwells each and every one of us as a child of the Almighty God. That strength is real. Father, help us to tap into it. Father, help us to enjoy it. Father, help us to understand what You have in store for each and every one of us, that we can be working for Your kingdom and in Your will and in Your way. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. This praise team comes forward. got a song to do. Brad said he didn't want to sing it by himself, so I'm going to have to help him sing it. So, this is the time, and we do it every Sunday. This is the time. The elders come forward. This is a time set aside in the service for you. This is the time. If you have a need, if you have something you want prayed over, you want something that these men can pray over you, these men love you. They're an extension of the hand of God. And all they want to do is just love you. And they want to pray for you. If you need prayer for anything, everything, you come forward right now.
Close the Lord in prayer. This is the time we get to talk to the Lord. Remember, He's real. We get to talk to Him now. Father, we praise You for this time. Father, we just praise You that we can lift You up. We can sing and raise our voices to You. and harmony to you and praise and magnifying your name. Father, we thank you for this time. Praise you. Father, we ask a special blessing upon each and every one here, that you would bind the powers of evil and Satan in the people's lives. That, Father, they would be covered by the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can walk in triumph and victory, singing Hosanna. Lord, praise you. Thank you. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen.